Okay, we're going to continue with our study of Christian characteristics. And tonight we are going to look at the Christian virtue of knowledge. So, with that being said, who could give me a definition of knowledge?
The truth or facts of life that a person acquires either through experience, thought, or education, the theoretical or practical understanding of a subject.
Very good. Anybody would like to add to that? Yeah, Carol.
To come to know, to recognize, to understand.
Perfect. And go ahead, Lee.
I just have understanding completely or to determine, to discover completely.
Good. Eileen?
I was just thinking about this today. And to have knowledge is one thing, but being able to impart the knowledge is another.
We could look at knowledge from the standpoint of how society views knowledge, but the more focused knowledge that Christians have should be the knowledge of God. That's the whole point of a Christian's walk with God. So knowledge is to perceive or understand something through experience, observation, or information. And you guys hit that on the nail on the head. Also, it involves the recognition and the comprehension of facts, truths, or principles. So it takes all those into consideration. But more important to you and I is the knowledge of God. It is seen as the greatest knowledge and the chief duty of man, of humankind. Often experienced through God's actions and ultimately through Jesus Christ. And this was out of the Cornerstone Encyclopedia of Bible Knowledge. Knowledge is something that we have to work on. We don't get it automatically. We have to dig into God's word so we can actually see what God expects, how you and I are supposed to conduct our Christian walk of life. Another definition I found is observation and recognition of objects within the range of one's senses. Acquaintance of a personal nature, which includes a response of the know. In the Old Testament, Genesis introduces the concept of knowledge. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is definitely more than an intellectual appreciation or insight into moral values. And this definition goes on further. The Hebrew view of man is one of differentiated totally, which includes his heart, soul, and mind. And they are so interrelated, they cannot be separated. Just think about how you worship God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's what it's commanding. For you and I, to worship God with our mind, our heart, and soul. That's the first commandment that Jesus gave us. And also, the second one was what?
To love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor as yourself. To know this involves the whole being and is not simply an action of eye or mind. We have to put it into action in our lives. The heart is sometimes identified as the organ of knowledge. And this comes from the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible. So when we look at knowledge, the concept of knowing God in the Bible is essential in a Christian's life. That's the basis of how you and I develop as Christians. Yes, Bill.
I could not find the scripture from the Old Testament. But one of the prophets said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." It's something we have to have.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely essential.
Absolutely.
I've been reading the God's Word for more than 60 years. And I'm still seeing new things and learning things from it. It's something, just reading the book is essential.
Mm-hmm.
We all need to be doing it, the whole thing, not just the New Testament. The Old Testament tells us so much, like last week's lesson, I think it was, examples of people from the Old Testament that did God's will.
Mm-hmm.
It's all there for our learning, and it's essential. The Old Testament is the background for the New Testament.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's much more to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole book is essential. And you speak of the heart, and I'm not sure if when they say heart, if it means the literal organ. To me, it's the center of our being.
Mm-hmm.
It's where we feel and we think, and where our conscience comes from is our heart.
And also, your heart defines you as an individual. And we see that sometimes we blurt out things and that comes from our heart. We have to control that. That's what James has shared with us. And going with that thought, the second paragraph, I have the importance of studying the Bible and gaining a deep understanding of God's Word is seen as essential for spiritual growth and fulfilling life. Why is that important? Studying the Bible.
One of the biggest things from reading the whole book is to learn how God feels about things. And even if he doesn't list it as a law in the New Testament, we know from the Old Testament if he thinks something is wrong or if it's good.
The Old Testament is important to understand God's will. We see that throughout the history of the children of Israel. When things were good, they worshiped God. When they were sinful people, what happened? God turned his back on them. But yet, God still was compassionate to them and understanding. And we learn that in the Old Testament. It's interesting to me when you look at back in the Old Testament times, these people were at war with each other. They were fighting. And if you go back to the genealogies, it started with Noah's three kids. That set up all the different tribes, so to speak. And they were fighting internally. They didn't put God first. And that's a lesson for us. Today, we have to put God first. Just think of what happened in the Old Testament. God turned his backs on them because they sinned. What about us today? Is God going to turn his backs on us He will if we sin. However, we have Jesus as the means of correcting that sin. And understanding is not about intellectual knowledge, but also about applying it to our daily life and showing the love for God through obedience. We studied obedience, we studied faithfulness, we studied different areas that involve our accepting God's will. And it's up to you and I to do that all the time. Carol, you had a comment.
Yeah, back to the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve only knew good. And the serpent said, you'll be like God, you'll know good and evil. Not good from evil. We do not recognize evil all of the time. Sometimes our little tiptoe up to the edges of stuff, we don't realize what we are doing. And it's definitely difficult to rein in something when you don't know that it's got you.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why when we're studying these characteristics or virtues, they're all intertwined. As we said last week, they all are dependent on each other. Kim?
If my goal as a Christian is to learn more about the character and nature of God so I can mold myself after that, I need to study his revealed word. That's the only way I'm going to learn. If I wanted to get to know you, Lenny, I need to talk with you personally and get to know you. I can gather bits and pieces of information from other people about you, and I can, you know, just kind of like this says, you know, we can get knowledge from a lot of different sources, and I can get little bits and pieces, but if I really wanted to get to know you and get to know who you are and what makes you tick and your personality, I need to talk with you and ask you questions and find out about your life and find out about your worldview and how you think. And I think that's why God gives us his revealed word, is because he loves us and he wants us to get to know him. And so the only way to get to know him is to ask him. And the only way to ask him is by reading the word that he has delivered to us.
Absolutely. We communicate to our Heavenly Father through prayer. Talk to him, just like you're going to talk to someone else. Carol.
Yes, just to build on what Kim said, the story of the seven blind men and the elephant. If you just look at God from one perspective and walk away, you only have one point of view. You don't have the whole picture. Mm-hmm. You're very limited on what it is. So,
and that's a true statement, because we have to know God in our lives. We see in the Old Testament what he had done for his people. We see what he's done in the New Testament for us today. And it's important that we piece them together and apply it to our lives. It's so critical in our Christian walk of life to have these characteristics and build upon them. Grow spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Help our brothers and sisters in Christ along their spiritual journey. We discussed this last week. And it's important for us to acquire the knowledge so that we could share that with others. Just think, one of the verses I had picked was in Timothy. You have to be ready to share God's word. And how do we do that? We study God's word and not only understand what God said, but put it into action. Go out and proclaim the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to others so that they may have the same opportunity as you and I have. Okay. The next on here, my notes here. The question is to share two verses that you can come up with that shows knowledge. Knowledge someone has or how to use knowledge. So what's a verse that you could share with us? Faith.
Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Very good. She looks at my notes. At home. And what does that mean? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Dean?
You have a healthy respect for God's power. So you fear and respect God's power. That should motivate you to want to please God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know how else to, I mean, that's as simple as I can make it is, you know, the most powerful person in the room, you don't want to upset. So you try to figure out what it is that they want from you. You know, and with God, we understand his power is, you know, his supreme, the fact that he's a supreme being, that he created us, and that, you know, what is understood from, if I create you, I can uncreate you. So we want to be pleasing to him.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to expand on faith. Comments. I went back to the second verse and it says to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel, and to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord. The respect and honor of God is the beginning of knowledge. And if you are a fool, Solomon goes on to say, you would despise the wisdom and instruction. And like Bill had alluded to, the Old Testament does share what God is. And it's up to you and I to understand him and try to emulate Jesus in our lives. And we do that by reading the gospel accounts of his life and try to follow what he says. And a lot of times it's difficult. We fall short of that. But we should put that into practice. Who would like to share another verse? Ted?
Jesus quoted Hosea 6:6 that reads, I desire the loyalty rather than sacrifice and the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings.
Very good.
Her word shown that how important knowledge is to God. God set forth sacrifice as atonement for sin for people, but above sacrifice for God, knowledge, mm-hmm. and making sure that you knew who he was and what his will for you is and what is commanded from.
Very good. I like what Joshua said when he addressed the children of Israel. He said, you guys can do what you want, but as far as I'm concerned, my household and myself will serve God. He recognized Jehovah God as supreme. He had acquired the knowledge through the scriptures, through the an understanding of what God expected. So it's important to put knowledge to work in our Christian every in our Christian walk of life. Someone else have another verse to share? Go ahead, Kristen.
I had Matthew 16:15-19. And it kind of goes with just engaging in the written word so that we can encounter the living word, Jesus himself. And so this is when Jesus is asking, who do the people say the Son of Man is? And his disciples said, well, they say John the Baptist and others say Elijah. But he goes on and he says, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And it just kind of just that whole experience of knowledge and wanting to know about who this person was, and that's what he decided that that's who he was.
Very good. That resonates the fact that he was with Jesus, understood what he wanted, he left everything to follow Jesus. He left his business, his family, and he put Jesus first. And he recognized that Jesus is God. However, when we look at his life later on, he made mistakes, just like you and I do. We fall short. Jesus told him, you're going to deny me 3 times. Man, there's no way it's going to happen. And he did. And we see that he fell short. He sinned just like you and I. But he had Jesus as a savior to correct that. Someone else like to share another verse?
Lenny, I have one.
Okay, go ahead, Ann, and then Bob.
So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So if you study his word, you will know the truth, and that's what's going to make you free.
Very good. That knowledge that you acquire from studying God's word, but more important, put it into practice, which yes. is important. Very good, Ann. Bob?
I picked Proverbs 17:27.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was kind of interesting when it says, he who restrains his words has knowledge. That seemed kind of odd to me. And there was a reference to James 1st chapter and 19th verse. Said to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for that is not the righteousness of God to do those things.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I have one more in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Paul shared with Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. So how do you get that? How do you get preaching the word?
That's your relational knowledge.
Just you have to dig into the Bible. You have to dig into God's word to see what he expects, see what he wants you to do. Preach the word. Be ready, no matter what, no matter what time. Be able to reprove, rebuke, and exhort people with great, great patience and instruction. That's something that we as Christians should follow in our life so that we can share God's word with others. Anybody else have any other verses? Andrew and then Kim.
I have James chapter 1, starting verse 4 and going to verse 6. It says, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." So we're being told here that if you're lacking wisdom, ask God. But you can't just ask half-heartedly. You got to be asking him and then be ready for his answer. Don't go into it doubting him. You know, "Oh, I'm going to ask for this, but I doubt God's going to answer my prayers." I mean, we got to be ready. If, like for me, I asked for a better understanding and patience. He gave me a great lesson in patience. I mean, boy, I've been waiting how long to deploy, you know, or to ship out. But, you know, he knows our hearts better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
He knows exactly how we need to get the knowledge. He knows exactly how we need to learn these lessons and get a better understanding of things. So he'll tailor it to our lives. But we can't go into it half-heartedly and not willing to do the work that we need to do too.
We have to be 100% committed to do God's will.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. And that's important. Very good point. Kim?
I was thinking about Paul's writing to the Romans. And in Romans 11, he talks about the mysteries of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And as Bill alluded to earlier, you know, the more I study the scriptures, the more I get into it, the more I understand that I don't understand. And I learn more and more. And I love the way that he puts it in Romans 11, verse 33. He ends that discussion with, "Oh, the depths and the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." And then in the 12th chapter, he goes on to say, when you seek after God, you're going to gain more of that knowledge,
mm-hmm,
and wisdom that is unsearchable, because we're never going to know fully the mind of God.
No.
We will never know that, but we will always be searching. And I really like that about Romans, when he was telling the Roman Christians that it's a mystery, it's hard to understand, and it's being unveiled to you. All you have to do is search it.
Exactly. You have to dig into God's word and to see what he expects as a child of God, as a follower of Jesus, what he expects of you. Dean.
Yeah, I had two passages that really impressed me. Luke 1, verse 17. He says that Jesus' purpose was to give the knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sin.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what that tells me is a lot of times knowledge comes from experience. And when we don't experience, it's hard to get knowledge. So that's the first passage. The second one is, you know, not surprisingly, it's my favorite passage about knowledge is 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter,
mm-hmm,
the whole chapter. We know that there's no idols in the world. Every Christian understands that idols are nothing. But, he says, some people don't have that knowledge.
Exactly.
And he's talking about Christians.
Yeah. And so that's scary.
There's knowledge, and there's something to be learned with or from experience.
Mm-hmm. That's part of it. Absolutely. Very good comments. Let's continue.
I just had this one written down that I thought went well with what 2 Timothy says there. And it's coming from Proverbs 24, verses 5 and 6 there, saying that the wise prevail through great power, and those who have knowledge muster their strength. Surely you will need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many, adversaries. I mean, I think it goes along with 2 Timothy there, saying that we need to be ready. If we have knowledge, we need to muster it, and we need to use it against those that want to see our downfall or who will challenge us. We need to make sure that we are ready.
Exactly. And Peter said the same thing to 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Always be ready to give an answer to those who ask with reverence and honor to God. That's our job as Christians. Very good comments. So the next, I'm going the wrong way here. Next item, provide an example from the Old Testament of someone who exhibited knowledge. So, go ahead, Carol.
I think of Job.
Okay.
Because when everything was taken away from him, he said, everything came from God. I came with nothing. I leave with nothing. He recognized that God was everything.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever happened, if it was okay with God, it was okay with him.
Yeah, God's in control. Absolutely. Anybody else have a kid?
Solomon.
Solomon? And why do you think Solomon?
Well, the end of the book of Ecclesiastes says, and further, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, and he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs and so forth. He didn't just study and examine things for himself. He taught the people knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
He gave what God gave him.
Yeah, he asked for wisdom, and God gave him the wisdom. And at the beginning, he shared it with everyone. But then, he didn't. Something that we have to recognize in our lives. We're blessed with God's gifts. And we should use them in such a way to glorify and honor God all the time. Not let it get to our heads. Anybody else have? Oh, like Dean?
Well, I guess going back to Solomon, I think he is an example of both types of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at the worldly example of knowledge, which is just knowing stuff, and then we look at the biblical example of knowledge, which is knowing God and knowing what God wants, Solomon is the perfect example in both places.
Mm-hmm.
And he explains to us in the first chapter in the 18th verse, talking about that worldly knowledge, in much wisdom is much grief. And he who increases in knowledge increases in sorrow. So he understands all the sickness and perversion of the world and how everything in the world is a waste of time if you don't have God. So he shows us both sides of the coin, if you will, throughout that entire book of Ecclesiastes.
Mm-hmm.
We call him the wise man, and yet we read of his exploits and we think, that guy's an idiot sometimes. I mean, the things that he decided to do for the sake of knowledge, we would shudder at today.
He got him in trouble.
So.
Yeah, it caused him sin. We could go through a lot of examples in the Old Testament, like Daniel for one. He had the knowledge that he shared. Deborah, a judge of prophetesses, she had divine wisdom that she shared. But I picked one out of the Old Testament. It's in Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 6. And it's a guy named Beelzebub. I hope I said it right. No? Anyway, here's a guy who was a son of Uri, son of Hur, out of the tribe of Judah. And God said of him, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship. God chose this individual and gave him knowledge so that he could go out and build a temple. But his knowledge came from God. How about somebody in the New Testament? Who would you be able to share with us as an individual who had knowledge? Great.
I have Apollos, Acts 18. He studied with, he studied with Paul, but I think he studied with Priscilla and Aquila. And because he didn't know much, and so he wanted more knowledge, to just know what he was doing. And he, once he got that knowledge, he went and passed that knowledge on. I think it's 18:24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, and an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. I think he said, when did you first learn? And he's like, well, I was baptized by John the Baptist. And so that kind of started his journey. And so that, for him, that was just educational knowledge that just kept growing and growing and growing.
And that's a good example, because Priscilla and Aquila took him aside and said, hey, look at it. You have to do something a little more. And he realized that he didn't have all the knowledge. And he turned around and started preaching Jesus. Andrew?
Yeah, I was going to. Well, I had Priscilla and Aquila there.
Okay.
Right now for me. But verse 26, that he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. So they pulled Apollos aside there, and he had an understanding, but they helped further that understanding, helped solidify it more, and helped him along the way. And then, I mean, after that, verse 27 says, when Apollos wanted to go to KF, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to him, the disciples there, and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. So, I mean, he was, after that meeting, he was excited and ready to go. So Priscilla and Aquila really helped him further his understanding.
Exactly. And that's an example for you and I, to share our knowledge with someone to help our brothers and sisters along their journey, their spiritual journey. And we as Christians shouldn't take offense to that. It's actually assisting us in our Christian walk of life. And we should be grateful that our brothers and sisters are recognizing there is a need, and they share that need with us, and we grow spiritually. I had a guy named Agabus. Hold on a second, yeah. Here it is. He had knowledge of a set of the famine that took place in the reign of Claudius, and he shared that information. Also, we find that fellow Agabus talked about Paul, who was going to be incarcerated when he went to Jerusalem. So he shared that information with Paul, and Paul said, if it's God's will, let it happen. That's Paul's attitude. Someone gave him some knowledge, And but yet, Paul referred back to the law. Anybody else have any other ones? Bob and then Dean.
Yeah, in Acts 18, Paul's at Corinth, and he's at the house of Justice Titus, a worshiper of God. And he teaches Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, who believes, is baptized, and the scripture says, and many more too, in verses 7 and 8. So Paul imparted the knowledge to this high-ranking member of the synagogue.
Absolutely.
Who was convinced.
Very good. Adeen?
Well, I had Paul also, so I was over at Ephesians chapter 3, where he's writing to the Gentiles. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mysteries, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mysteries of God. So he's basically giving a testimony to himself, but he's saying, read these words and weigh them against what you know and what you're learning, and you'll see it. So that's your knowledge of God.
Absolutely. And again, Paul was inspired. He was an apostle, and the Holy Spirit was with him. The Holy Spirit we receive is with us when we are baptized. And he shares with us God's Spirit, and he helps us along our journey. Adeen.
Yeah, I had a negative example. The apostle wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 8 or 7. He says there are some people who are always learning, but they're never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And he kind of explains that, I think, in verse 5. He says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. So I think in order to get knowledge, we have to be willing to experience knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to learn to discern. And in fact, this use of the word knowledge here, ever learning, never able to come to a knowledge of the truth, that knowledge is discernment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know a lot of really smart people who know more about the Bible than I do, but they're ignorant because they've never let it affect them.
They understand what the Bible says, but they don't get it in flash. That's true of a lot of people in the world today. People claim to be, and they are, morally right. They try to do what's right. But when it comes down to obedience to God's word, they lack that. And that's something we have to, as Christians, share with them, have, so that they can accept God. Carol?
I had Paul also, but for the fact that he had knowledge of when he was still a Pharisee.
Mm-hmm.
But his heart must have been right, even though God had to give him a big slap to get him going in the right direction. But he had an incomplete knowledge, which is what all of us have, to tell you the truth. We have an incomplete knowledge. That's why we always have to keep working.
We have to work at it constantly, daily. And it's important to do that, to increase our knowledge. Very good point. Anybody else have anything?
Well, I have a little bit different, I guess. It's still Paul, but he's giving praise to the Corinthian saints First Corinthians 1:4-5. And he says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge.
Very good. And that's something that we as Christians should be working. Acquiring knowledge through experience, through studying God's word, and applying it to our everyday walk of life. So with that, let's see this, let's explore this particular question. How do Christians reflect the Christ-like attitude through knowledge? Andrew, lead us off.
I went to Romans 12.
Okay.
At verse 2. Saying, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's telling us that for us to get an understanding, we cannot fall into the pattern of the world. We need to renew our minds.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get a better understanding of, well, God's will, as it says here. And once we do that, we can start helping other people in the world. We need to get that understanding ourselves. We need to make sure that we can fight off whatever the world is going to throw at us and be ready for, like we said earlier, be seasoned in and out.
Absolutely. Very good. Bill?
If we're presenting something about God to an unbeliever, we need to be able to present our knowledge
mm-hmm.
in a way that is inviting rather than accusing.
Good point. We shouldn't put that person on the defense. We should put them in a light that, hey, I have something for you. This is going to help you and share that information. A Christ-like attitude and knowledge involves seeking truth and wisdom with humility, recognizing the source of knowledge as God, his word, and using knowledge for good, reflecting Christ's love and service. Just think of Jesus's life when he was here, how he shared the word. He didn't beat people up. He told it as it is. And if they were walking down the step, he recognized that and said, hey, you got to get your life right. And that's the attitude we should have in our lives. We should put Christ in our lives in action. And how do we do that? You study Jesus' life. We went through the army of the Gospels just recently. But go through it again and understand what Jesus did when he was here, how he associated with those people who were sinners, those people who needed God's word. That's what we should be doing in our lives. Also, it means embracing continued learning, accepting mistakes, and extending grace to yourself and others. God has given us grace and mercy so that you and I can have the opportunity, not guaranteed, but the opportunity for eternal life. And this is what we should be extending to those in the world. Grace. Show them mercy. Show them compassion. Show them that you care. And they'll recognize there's something better. And that guy has it. What is it? That's the gospel. The death, burial, resurrection of Christ Jesus. Christians, okay, how do Christians grow in knowledge and seek opportunities to demonstrate knowledge to others? This is a a thought question that we should be applying to our lives daily. Okay, Andrew, how do you grow in knowledge?
We grow in knowledge by studying the Word.
Studying the Word?
Not just going and reading through the Bible and all that, but actually taking the time to dive into into the Scriptures. If you're confused on what's being said, try to find a better understanding. Maybe talk to other people about that verse. Get other people's input on it. Maybe look at some commentaries about that. But just, you know, studying it. And, you know, we at times may not have a, like I said, a full understanding, but we go out there and be proactive and get that full understanding.
Exactly. Spending time in God's Word. Studying, meditating on the Bible to deepen your understanding of God's character and His teachings. That's what we should be doing. What else should we be doing?
If we put into practice all these characteristics of God that we're studying now, that would help us a lot.
Absolutely. And that's why we're taking our time with these characteristics so we could develop a better understanding of what God expects from you and I as Christians. Another theme, Dan?
Well, earlier on in my studies of this, I read over in the book of Proverbs in the 18th chapter, and you could read most of that. But in, oh, I don't have my glasses on. So in verse 13, it says, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him." Yep. And then it goes on to say, "The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge."
Mm-hmm.
One thing, you know, we always say this as teachers, you know, when we're out there teaching the world, and we're asked questions we don't know the answer to. So many times it's hard for us to say, "I don't know the answer to that question." And so we try to answer the question to the best of our ability. And I think that what this is telling us is lend that ear, seek that knowledge, but don't try to answer the question when you don't have...
If you don't know the answer.
If you could...
Absolutely.
Because you're just proving to the world that you have no knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that there's, we shouldn't shirk away from responsibilities and conversations. I had a conversation with a young lady today. She's actually the bartender at Applebee's. And I told her that, you know, when I left there, I was coming here. And she said, "Oh, that's funny. My mom has been talking about wanting to come to church. But she's seeking answers. And the questions that she's seeking answers to are tough questions. Her husband died of cancer. Her second husband killed himself, suicide. You know, her son has died from drugs. There, all these bad things are happening. And we can relate to that. Sometimes we just ask, what? Why? How much is enough? You know, and these people have these questions. And, you know, for me to have that conversation with her, I have to be honest with her. I don't have those answers. You know, I can help you find peace through God's word, but I don't have the answer to the whys.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So we have to be careful not to try to appear to be more knowledgeable than we are, because we'll just come out like a fool.
And if you don't know the answer, you tell that individual, "I don't have..." Another way we could grow in knowledge is by praying for wisdom and understanding. Go to God. Communicate what you need. And He will guide you through His word. And seek the counsel of others, as Dean had just had mentioned. Test your understanding with others and learn from their insight. Seek someone who has experienced something and rely on those individuals. So how do you show people in the world you have this knowledge? What would you do?
Well, I think it starts by demonstration through your actions.
Practicing gratitude?
Yeah, how do I respond when things don't go my way?
Sure.
How do I respond when people are upsetting to me? You know, how do I answer questions that are asked of me?
Very good point. Go ahead, Carol.
Well, this is more on the last thing. I've been thinking about the application of the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's God tells you should remove the beam from your own eye instead of taking the splinter out of somebody else's. And we need to, when we are learning the knowledge, apply it to ourselves.
First. Very good point. How about praying for your enemies and others? Sometimes that's difficult. But that shows other individuals that you have the knowledge of God. You have what Jesus did in his life by praying for your enemies. That's difficult. I find that very difficult. But yet, God expects me to do that. Serve others. Find the opportunities to serve and bless those around you to the best of your ability. We could go on to say by sharing God's word. Being a good friend to someone. You may need a shoulder to lean on. Be there for that individual. Being a living example of what the Bible says. Put what you learn into practice. And as some people say, invite others to services. Someone seeking God, be a conduit for them to say, worship with us, worship God with us, and learn with us, and ask good questions, and listen well, so that others know your knowledge comes from God. And you get that through studying his word. Does anyone have anything to add